an interesting concept. What do you tax? Now, not like the government, like, you know, they tax everything, obviously. But when people take things from you, do you take some of the things back? For example, we were just talking to one of our producers, Sean. Mm-hmm. And explain what happened, Raven.
Well, he said that his girlfriend, they stopped at the store and she asked him to grab her a soda. He went in, grabbed a can, came out, opened the can, took a sip of the can right in front of her, and then handed it to her, to which she was like, wait a minute, what's that? That's ridiculous. And he said, boyfriend tax, it's shipping and handling. Then I'm in the room, turn around, producer John says, oh yeah, that's like kid tax, dad tax. And I said, well, what's that? He says, well, you know, you got all the kids in the car and you order everybody happy meals. You might even be the guy that's springing for the meals.
Oh yeah.
But you take a fry tax. You get fries out of every kid's meal as you hand it back.
Also, I take a chicken nugget from the kids' meals too.
I mean, what size chicken nuggets are these? Because if it's a 6-piece and you're taking one, we're going to have a problem.
Oh, no, it is a 6-piece and I take one. It's mom tax. It's the same thing like dad tax with the fries and the same thing like soda tax for Sean.
Well, you know, I can't do this with drinks with my wife because she won't share drinks with me. So strange.
So I always found like I'm a pizza girl. I'm a restaurant kid. My parents grew up owning Italian restaurants. So a lot of times if I'm going over a friend's house, they will casually say, can you bring a pizza? Can you bring a pizza? Which sounds crazy, but it's just been the way it's always been in my life.
I mean, you have the access. If you were my friend then, I would have done it too.
I just text my dad. I'm like, Daddy, get me 2 large pizzas ready. I'll be right over. And he does, and he does. But whenever I have a bring my friend's pizza, I'll take a slice. Like, I'm not going to bring pizza and not have a slice. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Transportation costs. Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you don't take that slice out, venture to say that pizza isn't getting there. I do this with cupcakes. Any party or get together that we have, I'm always the guy that's happy to let everybody unload their cars. Like, you just pull up and I'll help you get all the stuff out. No problem. Oh, I'll carry it for you to the back. There's no cost or so. Say, oh, no, I got it. It's fine. No. No, I insist. I insist on helping. You know why? Because there's a cupcake tax or a cookie tax.
It's the one that you get to sneak out and eat before dessert time.
And when you're the first one there, you can do it so nobody even realizes that the cling wrap has been disturbed.
Oh, yeah. That makes me crazy, though, when somebody unwraps it before the dessert time. But you know what? Fine. If you help me bring it in, you can steal one. What dangerous, dumb thing did you do as a kid that you lived to tell the story? 1-800-330-9999. You've been hearing a lot of sounds like this on social media lately. It's the milk crate challenge, and people are stacking up these milk crates and climbing on them and trying to balance. But obviously, they're milk crates, so they fall, and then all these kids are getting all kinds of broken bones and fractures.
Hey, you know what I can't believe, Anna, is the amount of adults that are doing it just to prove that they're cool. All right? I mean, that's the thing that's blowing my mind. And there's some people doing it for, like, public outreach. They're like, oh, we're all in this together, but
you're not.
You shouldn't be doing that.
You know, Raven, you say that.
Yeah.
You can't believe the amount of adults, but I was away. And you and producer Sean decided to do this, too.
I mean, I didn't go up.
Producer Sean went up, and this is what it sounded like when they did it without my supervision, first of all, because I never would have agreed.
You're up there, man.
Oh,
I don't understand how people do this.
Seems anticlimactic now that you haven't had a compound fracture in your leg.
Whoa.
And then he fell off.
Yeah. Luckily, I was shooting Nerf gun at his face while he was doing it, too. So just for added distraction.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't have enough to go 6 levels up. So, I mean, I wanted to make it somewhat more challenging.
Well, unsurprisingly, it's been a big thing in the news lately that TikTok has banned it. And here's a little bit from a news report.
Okay.
Federal officials are now letting us know the milk crate challenge is a bad idea. Doctors do not recommend it. And the Food and Drug Administration is also discouraging people from participating in this foolishness.
What?
Yep.
So wait a minute.
Yep.
Wait a minute. So the CDC tells us how to talk now and the FDA tells us what's dangerous?
Yes.
This is all nonsense
nowadays.
What's
happening?
Come on.
I think that this like falls under like the Tide Pod challenge. Also, dumb. Like the things that you do as a kid that are dangerous and dumb. And at the time, you don't realize how dangerous it is. But then when you do it, you live to tell the story.
Sure.
Right? Like when you get older, you're like, guess what I did?
Yeah. Most of the dumb stuff that I did as a kid centered around my dirt bike, at least for a while anyways. I had a Yamaha YZ80, but it had no brakes and it was busted and stuck in third gear. So everywhere that you wanted to go, you had to pop it. So there was really no safe way to stop it. And of course, if you wanted to get to any trails to ride, you had to go on streets. I got hit by a truck one time on a major road. Yeah. hit by a truck. I was like 14, and I had my buddy on the back.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Imagine being your buddy's mom.
They gave us a ride home.
I'm always worried about the moms.
With the bike in the back of the truck.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What dangerous dumb thing did you do as a kid that you lived to tell the story?
I grew up in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and Saturday Night Fever was just released. We mocked what the gentleman did, and we walked under the Verrazano Bridge on the Cap Bridge to the first girder. I go under it now. I look up. I can't believe I did that as a kid.
I mean, you're absolutely nuts. I once crossed a trolley bridge, like an old school trolley bridge.
Yeah.
That thing was maybe 30, 40 feet in the air, man, and I shook. I shook. All right. What do you think? You're the Lost Boys? Are you insane?
He lived to tell the story.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, man.
Lived to tell the story.
Imagine your poor mom.
Right.
Okay, something happened.
Right. Your mom listening to this program right now. She'd be like, what? What?
Yeah, right. Most people wouldn't believe it anyway.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's why I totally believe you. Thank you for the call.
You've been hearing a lot of this on social media lately. That is people falling off milk crates for the milk crate challenge. And now the FDA, TikTok, everybody is banning it, saying don't do it. Basically, you stack up milk crates and you try to climb to the top, but people are falling off and getting broken bones. And
your
fractures.
Shins will thank you if you will skip this. All right. Seriously.
But there's some dumb, dangerous things that you did as a kid and you live to tell the story. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
Back in the days of in the 80s. They were doing a dump run in our neighborhood, and we stacked up all the beds that were out on the street. And we jumped from the third floor onto the beds and bounced off the beds onto the ground.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, come on. I mean, you didn't even have explosives, so that seems rather tame.
Oh, really? No, good.
I mean, if you had lit the M80 as you jumped out the window and then threw it as you hit
there
the
are
mattress.
Children listening, Raven. Remember, are you insane?
Remember, kids were playing with sticks and rocks and mud back then.
Yeah.
Everything we could find.
And we thought it was great. We were totally happy. Right. Thanks for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What dangerous, dumb things you do as a kid that you live to tell the story?
There was an old concrete plant that they used to cut into the side of the mountain, and we used to ride our bikes off of that. It was like a 20-foot drop in the sand.
So you would rock out at the quarry. Yeah. Me and my, you know, a lot of people don't understand the dangers that are in a quarry swimming pool. Let alone the chemicals that we never thought of that were running off into the quarry pool. But the fact that people were dumping like Volkswagen bugs and stuff into the bottom of this thing, driving it off the cliff. And then we're jumping 80 feet into the quarry pond. Like, we used to do the same type of nonsense, man.
But I thought that I did dumb things as a kid. It's nothing compared to what people have done.
No, my gosh. You live to tell the tale. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the dumb thing that you did as a kid that you live to tell the story?
Well, I live in the Bronx right now. And in Hunts Point, we got three trains. I used to jump from one side of the train from one side of the station to the other side of the station. Not when the train was coming, but I used to do that on a regular basis.
I mean,
on top of that, we used to play tag on top of the trailers.
You guys are nuts.
And I just did the milk crate challenge.
Shocking.
I only did it with four crates, but I did it.
You're a maniac. Right? You're a maniac.
I'll be 70 in October.
Protect those bones, man.
Right now, I'm driving a trailer.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I hope you're on a hands-free, sir. You've broken enough rules so far in this lifetime.
Yes, I am. I am. I'm on a hands-free.
It's the safest thing you're doing in life, right?
I mean, these stories are so crazy. I remember being in elementary school. Raven, can you see my knee? I'm showing my knee. If you can see, I still have gravel in my knee. And when I was in elementary school, we first got a trampoline. Remember before people knew that trampolines were dangerous?
Death traps.
And we used to have it on the playground. And I remember we set it up and you would have to run and catapult off the trampoline and see how far you could jump.
Oh, yeah.
But it was not, we would do it on
and land on pavement.
But it would be pavement. It would be like just gravel, like the parking lot. And I remember it was all up in my knee and I thought, it would just go away. Well, I'm 41. Gravel's still in my knee.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go away. If it's stuck in there, it stays in there.
Forever.
Right. Oh, it was over here.
That's all you're hearing all over social media. People doing this milk crate challenge, which has now been banned by the FDA and TikTok because people are breaking bones left and right, stacking up milk crates and then, you know, falling because they're milk crates.
I saw a video of a cop. He was at some community picnic or something like that. Showed up, utility belt on, everything. He's got to be in his 40s. Yeah, he fell coming back down the other side. I'm thinking, broken collarbone. Yeah. What are you doing? I mean, community outreach is important, man. It's not that important.
But there's certain things that you do as a kid that are dangerous and they're dumb and you do them anyway and you live to tell the story. What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Ann on Raven.
All right. Do you remember back in the 90s, the reality signs used to be like those double-sided fiberglass things on the metal post?
Yes.
Well, we found one on the ground that didn't have the metal sticks anymore, so me and my friend decided to play frisbee with it, and I caught it in the neck, and I ended up with a gash.
Oh my god!
You're lucky you didn't end up decapitated.
Oh! But it's also a good idea what to do with all those political signs out there.
And, like, my mom had family friends over, and so we go home, and I have, like, my shirt up over my neck so she can't see it. Because I'm like, oh, she's got friends over. This isn't going to be good. And she's looking at me like, I know you did something. What did you do?
Did she let you fester there until her friends left? You're not ruining book club.
No, she took me in the other room and she's like, oh, what did you do?
Meanwhile, you're bleeding from your neck.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What dangerous thing did you do as a kid and you live to tell the story?
So when I was 3 years old, I got poison ivy everywhere. And by everywhere, I mean everywhere. So my parents were trying to potty train me. They just put me in the backyard, basically, and they were with no diaper. They were just like, just go. And I went over into like some bushes, some weeds for a little privacy, and paid for it a lot.
Oh, he got poison ivy on his privates.
It was horrible.
I'm just going to sit here in silence because the whole thing sounds absolutely terrifying. I'm not sure who I'm more upset with, your parents or the planet for allowing that to happen.
Well, he lived to tell the story.
Well, I'm upset with everybody involved here.
Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. What dangerous thing did you do as a kid and you lived to tell the story?
So my brother actually hit me in the head with a milk crate and then left me in the backyard alone until my mom came home and found me back there. I mean, it was bad.
He tried to murder you. Yeah, that's what happened. Oh,
is
my
your
God.
Brother locked up right now?
No, he didn't know what to do and didn't want to deal with it, I guess, and thought it was funny, I don't know, and left me out there. And I had this, like, gash in my head. Oh my God. It was bad.
You imagine how much trouble
didn't know what to do and whatever. You sound like an attorney trying to go for murder two over murder one. Like, I mean, either way, it was bad. Let me tell you, it was definitely bad what he did.
It's all fun and games for brothers and sisters to beat up on each other till somebody gets hurt and then you're afraid of mom.
Struck her with a milk crate.
Oh, yeah. You should see my husband's head. He's the youngest of three boys. He's got scars all over his head. Every single one of them is a different story of something that his big brother threw at his face. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What dangerous thing did you do as a kid and you lived to tell the story?
I went sledding down this huge hill in my neighborhood and I hit a tree, just like straight on. Hit a tree, had to go to the ER, got a concussion, never went sledding again.
Wow.
Wow. Never to sled again. Yeah.
That's dangerous. That stays with you forever. That's terrifying.
I mean, how about just point your sled in the other direction from the tree?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's traumatizing. Imagine you hit a tree when you're a kid. You're never going to forget that unless you go to an open field, and then I guess it's better.
I mean, I must have had a dozen concussions. That's all I'm saying.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Well, it's Wednesday. Small things you can do in your life to make a big difference. Everybody's got a bathtub, right? How often you actually get into that bathtub is a different story, but there's a ton of health benefits. And the new one that's been trending this week is that it really helps with anxiety, especially heading into like a new year right now, like a new school year where people are really stressed out and there's a lot going on.
Okay.
So here's the robot lady explaining why you should be taking baths for a minimum of 15 minutes.
Okay, robot lady.
The feelings of closeness we receive from being submerged in warm liquid gives us connotations of being in the womb, and it is very comforting. Overall, bathing induces feelings of comfort and easiness, and that kind of security allows your mind, and subsequently your body, to relax.
All right.
That was a lifelike sounding robot.
So Raven and I decided to put it to a test. After a long, stressful day yesterday, we recorded ourselves getting into the bath and how we were feeling going into our baths. And then 15 minutes later, we checked in to see if we actually felt more relieved after this magic 15 minutes.
Not the same bathroom. I know some people believe we live together.
We don't.
Okay. You know, I'm not typically a bath guy. It's been a long day. I am coming from the chiropractor, which relaxed me, but at the same time left me a little bit oily. So 15 minutes. Let's see how we feel.
So you do the 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And what happens after that 15 minutes? Let's check it out.
Well, okay. It's more like 12 minutes at this point. It just doesn't stay warm enough long enough. Then I'm counting down the moments till I get out. I don't think it worked the right way for me.
It's a real problem.
It gets me anxious.
Yeah, when it starts getting cold, then it's not relaxing and fun anymore. I guess you need like one of those fancy tubs that have the spouts that make it warm all the time.
Here's the thing. The spout on mine's really tough, so I can't open it back up with my foot. Like, I could pull something.
Yeah.
If I do it, it's a pull one. It's not a turn knob, so I can't just add a little more hot water.
Yep.
And so the minute I get into the tub, I'm automatically counting down until when it's going to be too cool for it to not be pleasant anymore.
I had a much bigger issue going into my bathtub.
Okay.
All right. I'm in the bathtub. I just got in. I'm feeling stressed. It's like a back to normal kind of day. School, Hayden's soccer practice, dinner on the table, finishing work. I wanted to get in this bath, but Dakota, my toddler, saw that I was getting in the bath and decided to get in the bath with me, because since when does mommy take baths? Right, Dakota?
Right.
Right?
The baths and the agent cupcakes and
no one knows what you're saying. No one. Use your real words.
I take a bath with mommy.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, she wants to take a bath with mommy.
Perfect.
So 15 minutes we were in that bathtub together, and how did it end up?
All right. It's 15 minutes later. Dakota, it's time to get out of the bath now. Do you feel any more relaxed, Dakota?
Yes.
Mommy? I don't know. Not so much. I guess a little.
Wait, you want to see my butt? I want to see my butt.
No, I see your butt. I see your butt. I see it. I see your butt.
And we had to have a whole conversation about her butt. I was like, right. No, mommy sees it. It's right. Good. It's good. And then she would show me my butt. And I was like, you know what? You want to know what it was? You were always in a rush to get the kids to sleep. You're always going through the motions.
Sure.
It was really nice to just play in the bath for 15 minutes.
Oh,
it really was.
That's
it was.
Nice.
So you know what? I'll give this a thumbs up.
All right. Don't cry.
No, she's my baby. Want to see my butt? Want to see my butt?
No, I'm out. Okay. I'm out.
I can't even imagine. Needless to say, parents will do absolutely anything to protect their children. But what one mom did with her bare hands is beyond admirable.
You bring that mess around here, Anna, you're going to get socked in the mouth.
Oh, my gosh. So a 5-year-old boy, he was playing outside in his front yard in Calabasas, and he was attacked by a young mountain lion, which is every, I think, person's nightmare. Can you imagine?
The number one nightmare that I have is a mountain lion randomly attacking me.
Well, it's more,
but I get what you're saying.
No, attacking my child. My child. Here is the police chief talking about what happened next.
The commotion caused by the attack and the boys, you know, screaming alerted the mom who was inside. She ran out and immediately started striking and punching at the lion and managed to fend the lion off of her son. This mom is an absolute hero who saved her son's life. There's no question about it.
She fought a mountain lion with her bare hands to save her son. I mean,
don't mess with Mama Bear.
Don't mess with Mama Bear.
Don't mess
100%.
With Mama Bear.
100%.
I mean, mountain lion is a killing machine.
Yeah.
Just going to point that out.
No, it's true.
It's literally a death dealer.
And her son is fine.
Pretty,
you know,
serious.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like some bites and things like that, but he's completely fine. He's going to survive. Everything is great. She saved her son's life. And I think most parents, you know, would definitely do the same thing.
They'll do all they can.
Absolutely. But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, her whole life and his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I have to endure 28 labor hours of labor.
Right.
Every time he comes home and he did something wrong. Right. I had to fight a mountain lion for you.
Fighting a mountain lion for you. What do you mean you're not bringing your family over for Thanksgiving? You're right. It's going to be a mic drop on that the rest of his life.
For most of us, we'll never, ever, luckily, have to do anything like that.
Yeah, no, I don't want to fight a mountain lion.
Nope.
I'd rather look at it from afar.
Yep. But 1-800-330-9999. I didn't fight a mountain lion, but I, it's like a fill in the blank. See what I did there?
Sure, sure. It could be semi-heroic. I tell you what I did yesterday, Anna. Yeah. I made all our park ticket purchases and reservations for Disney in between meetings yesterday.
Wow.
Never done it before in my life. Mm-hmm. Been getting lectured by you and everybody around me about how I'm not going to be prepared and how I'm going to be screwed when I get there. Guess who got it done?
Mm-hmm.
This guy.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you like that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I didn't fight a mountain lion, but I did a Tough Mudder once, and then I was too tired at the end to really enjoy the one free beer you get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They give you the free beer after the run. I'm trying not to vomit.
I just got hit by 10,000 volts of electricity in the last thing. But here's this Coors Light. Enjoy it. Thank you.
Why do we come up with these things, right?
I don't know.
You're going to crawl on your stomach below barbed wire, and we're going to electrocute you.
Did that.
I didn't fight a mountain lion, but I picked up all the food at the end of the night from our barbecue over the weekend. And then the next morning, I broke down the tents, the tables, and the chairs with a hangover.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. I picked up sandwiches later on to nurse my wife's hangover.
Nice.
I mean, pretty heroic,
that
right?
That is, yeah.
Take that, mountain lion.
I didn't fight a mountain lion, but I dressed up as Elmo at my nephew's birthday party in 90-degree heat when the real Elmo didn't show up.
Did you really do that?
Yep.
Wow, that is heroic.
I know. I didn't fight a mountain lion for my kid, but I fill in the blank. 1-800-330-9999. A mom has gone viral this week after she saved her 5-year-old son who was being attacked by a mountain lion in their front yard in Calabasas. Terrifying.
Listen, don't mess around and smell like a steak if you're out hanging around mountain lions. If you look like a small elk or deer, you could have a problem.
Maybe you didn't fight a mountain lion, and let's hope you never do, but maybe you did something that was pretty admirable anyways. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. I didn't fight a mountain lion, but I...
No, sir, but I saved my 3-year-old daughter from choking on a polished rod from the aquarium by performing the Heimlich on her.
Nice job. Nice job. So many people talk about or witness somebody do the Heimlich, but many of us, I mean, most of us will never have to actually do it. So you did it. She lived. Great work.
Thank you. And now today is her last first day of school. She's a senior.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's
congratulations.
Exciting. I'm always afraid if I do the Heimlich on somebody,
you.
I'm actually going to hurt them more.
Well, I'm CPR certified and everything, and I always panic that I'm actually going to have to do it because do I really know how to do it, which
right?
comes to shove.
Right.
You know?
Good job, Mom.
Yeah, great job.
Thank you.
It's Anna and Raven. I didn't fight a mountain lion for my kid, but I...
got my teenager to add me back on Snapchat.
Nice job, Mom.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know how you did that. That's like crazy.
That's awesome.
Don't now screw it up.
You can go back to stalking them now.
Right. Screenshots galore.
Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. I didn't fight a mountain lion for my kid, but I
got off the highway, drove backwards 3 miles, got out of my car just so I could try to find the stuffed bunny that my kid threw out the window.
Oh, boy. Oh, if it was Henrietta's. So we have Henrietta's. It's 4 purple hippos that Dakota, my toddler, sleeps with every single night.
Mm.
If one of those went out the window, I'd have to go back too. I understand your pain. Did you find it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank goodness.
Oh, good. I didn't fight a mountain lion for my kid, but I
vacuumed and changed the oil in both cars last weekend.
That is a champion right there.
I mean,
probably had the stuff to do it for like 3 months sitting out there, but he finally got it done.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No, it's a big deal, okay. Anna. It's a big deal. It's a manly deal.
I mean, she fought a mountain lion for her child.
I mean, that was in desperation. She was faced with that. He had a clear choice before that.
All right. Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. I didn't fight a mountain lion for my kid, but I...
I put together one of those giant outdoor playthings for my daughter. It took over 6 hours.
Those things are
terrible.
No joke. Those things are no joke. Yeah.
You did that by yourself in 6 hours? Like, that's super impressive.
Yep.
I mean, those projects are absolutely massive. If my wife and I tried to take one of those on, we'd be divorced.
If you had to put together your gazebo by yourself, Raven, or fight a mountain lion,
yeah,
which would you choose?
100% the mountain lion. Yeah. Remember what I went through with the gazebo? Yeah. It took 3 days, mm-hmm. and I had 5 guys there at the end. The mountain lion, at least I know it's going to be over relatively quick. Win, lose, or draw, 2 people enter. Well, all right, in this case, 1 person enter, 1 large feline cat enter, 1 thing leaves. Only one of us is getting out of there alive.
Yeah, my money's on the cat.
Oh, I will taste what a mountain lion steak tastes like.
Okay.
I will definitely. I'll eat it raw with some Chianti and fava beans.
Traveling over Labor Day weekend, there's probably something you should know. Patrick DeHaan is from Gas Buddy. So what is going on? Because we keep hearing that the gas prices this weekend are going to be like the highest of all time, blah, blah, blah. Is that real?
I hate you, Ida. I hate you. Who am I supposed to hate, Patrick? What's going on here?
I don't know if there's enough fingers on your hands to point, you know, at how many parties that could be partially at fault. Certainly, Hurricane Ida did not help us out at all. But prices now, as you mentioned, it's going to be the most expensive Labor Day since 2014. But keep in mind, back in 2014, we were closer to $4 a gallon than we were $3. A lot of what we've been experiencing this year in terms of high prices has been because of shakeups brought on by COVID. You'll remember that early in the pandemic, Americans parked their cars, oil demand plummeted along with prices. And it was that big plunge in prices that caused oil companies to start shutting some of their production down. And now that the economy has come rip-roaring back, demand has outpaced supply. And so prices are higher, and now we have insult to injuries that Hurricane Ida knocked off a couple of big refineries ahead of the holiday weekend. And, of course, that will have a slight impact. We'll call it a 5 to 15 cent a gallon impact over the next week or two.
I was one of Raven and I were a couple of the few people that actually still had to commute during the early pandemic.
Sure.
And I remember when the gas plummeted that I went to go fill up the tank, and I would think that the tank, it accidentally shut off halfway because it was so cheap that it felt weird, you know?
Yeah.
And there's almost a sense of normalcy at this point. When I see it go up, I'm like, that feels better. Not to my wallet, but just to my heart.
Yeah, I mean, I don't subscribe to that at all. I want to see it low, and I'd like to keep it low. Patrick, what can I do about, you know, looking into fracking in my backyard and refining my own gasoline? Would you advise that?
Yeah, right. Well, short of a significant investment to do that, and you know, keep in mind that I don't think that the feds would really like you digging a hole, you know, thousands of feet deep in your backyard, and we're not even sure if there's anything under the ground there anyway. It's just going to take time. Now, OPEC has promised to increase production every month until 2022. It's going to be at that point, at the end of that 2022, that OPEC will be back at pre-COVID production levels. So more oil that they're producing should help alleviate some of the price crunch we've experienced. But again, in the very short term, prices will likely remain kind of stubbornly high. We haven't seen $3 a gallon, with the exception of this summer, since the summer of 2014. I think the good news is we should slip back below that $3 mark nationally. Next summer, we may or may not get there, just depending on how COVID develops between now and then.
Patrick, to be clear, there's plenty of gas. This is just temporary stuff.
Well, you know, there's certainly far less gasoline than there was a year ago on an account of Americans just getting out in potentially record numbers this summer. In fact, some of the weeks that we saw data from the government and our own data back that notion that some of the weeks this summer, not all of them, but some of them, set new all-time record highs for gasoline consumption.
Patrick DeHaan from Gas Buddy, thank you.
My pleasure.
Bonnaroo Music Festival was canceled last minute because of Hurricane Ida. The grounds are so saturated that they can't get any of the bands or any of the live music or the trucks on the grounds. It's a whole camping festival for days. People collectively lost their minds on Twitter when they announced it.
When you've got a plan for something that you want to ramp up to and do, like, I mean, it's the center of your universe right at that moment, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you don't have a lot of perspective when it goes south. And it's funny because no matter what got canceled on somebody else, I think the reaction is usually the same. They're like, really?
Right.
Is it that big of a deal? You know, but of course, it feels like a big deal at the time.
Well, you know, people travel. You travel for this.
Well, yeah, right. This is a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bigger deal than a regular show.
Like, the headliners were Lizzo, Tool, Megan Thee Stallion. So Nick tweets, I literally drove 700 miles and spent $5,000 to see this concert. How can you do this? I'm going to sue someone.
I mean, $5,000. What ticket did you have?
Jeremy said, did you guys prepare for this at all? Where is the gravel, the hay? Who was running this show? Which then Rabble Rouser responded, any viable hay has been sold for agriculture use. There's already shortages across the U.S. and demand-driven inflation. Sorry you missed the party, but the cows have to eat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that person working the Google and the Wikipedia to come back.
If you guys look at the responses on here, people collectively lost their minds.
Sure.
But like you said, it's sometimes when things get canceled that you're really looking forward to, it's heartbreaking. And we've all experienced it over the last year and a half because of the pandemic.
Right. It's funny because when I thought of mine, I thought to myself, wow, that really does seem petty as compared to people that were out thousands 2000. So mine, you'll laugh, 5-6 years ago, similar situation. Kid Rock concert got canceled. I knew you would love that. The Kid Rock concert got canceled because, I mean, there was some tropical storm or something like that. And I remember thinking, what? And my wife was like, what? No helicopters? I was like, well, you know, the wind is kind of a problem with that.
Yeah.
But it was the first time that I had bought tickets in a long time. And they were like front row because I like called in a favor and was like, hey.
Huge Kid Rock fan.
Set me up. And since then, it's changed.
You could call or text 1-800-330-9999. What was the event that when it's canceled, it broke your heart? For me, it was, this sounds, again, so dumb in
ridiculous.
The grand scheme of things.
Right.
But when Hayden, my oldest, was in first grade, they were having a big trunk or treat at the school. And I'd never done a trunk or treat before, but Hayden was really into it.
This is the time when you ate the stuff?
Yep. I was like, we're going to have the best trunk, baby girl, because she was so into it. I went to the craft store. I bought like, and that's when the emojis first came out.
That's
and they
right.
were a big deal.
You had poster board.
That trunk lit up like an emoji heaven. I had like a yellow carpet with all the faces and there was lights and it was out of control. About an hour before Trunk or Treat starts, I had spent all this time, an entire week preparing it. Thunderstorm, they cancel it, no rescheduled date. I spent like $250 on this junk for this trunk. In retrospect, how dumb am I that I even did that?
Anna was so mad. You came in here with the emojis. You came in here with the different cutouts, and you were throwing them around the building. Anybody want these? They're useless to me. She was so mad. True story.
The Bonnaroo Music Festival is supposed to kick off, and they had to cancel it because of Hurricane Ida. The grounds were saturated. They're so wet. They can't do it. You can't have the camping on the grounds. You can't even get the machines on to get the bands.
Yeah, it'd be a mess. No question.
Megan Thee Stallion, Tool, Lizzo, they were all supposed to perform. People have been waiting because this is canceled 2 years in a row now because of COVID. On Twitter, people have collectively lost their mind. They want to sue. They can't believe this is happening. How could they do this to them?
Right.
And I think that it happens, though, when you're looking forward to something so much and then it's canceled last minute, it's heartbreaking. So 1-800-330-9999, what was the event that was canceled that broke your heart? I'm checking our text line. My son was supposed to play at Carnegie Hall with his high school band. He was a senior and it was only year to do it, canceled because of COVID. I was heartbroken.
That's a big one, right? When you think about the high school sports that they didn't get to play, the seniors, all that stuff over the last year or so. Prom, of course. Yeah. Wow.
New York City Marathon, because of Hurricane Sandy. It was supposed to be my first marathon. I had already gone to the expo, picked up my number. I was on the train on the way home when everybody started calling and telling me that they were sorry because it was canceled. I was heartbroken.
Oh, that's terrible, because if you're like me and Anna, if you trained, you're never going to be in that shape again in your life. If you actually made it to the part where you're ready to run, you're never running again.
Yeah, except that's 26.1 miles. We ran a 5K and almost died.
I almost died.
Yeah.
Almost died.
But listen, we had tickets for Kiss and they canceled. Okay, but if you have tickets for Kiss or any of those old timers, well,
you're saying to yourself, you got to be prepared for it. Like somebody might have dropped dead or fell ill before it.
Just saying, there might
ironically,
not be.
They're canceling shows again on their tour.
Yeah.
Wow. 1-800-330-9999.
What did they cancel for you that was heartbreaking?
Oh my goodness! So we our dog show. My daughter and I. My daughter's a junior handler because she was, I think, 9 at the time. So we drove from New York through Sir Pauling area, New York, all the way down to Virginia for the shows that were going to last all weekend. I took her out of school early. We stayed overnight in the hotel. The next morning, we were told the event was canceled, and we had to drive all the way back home.
And the worst part was your dog was so disappointed. Your dog was so upset. So upset. Yeah, that does stink.
But a spinning day for her.
I know. She lost her big win. She never even got to compete. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was canceled that broke your heart?
My wedding was. It was postponed back in 2004 because of a hurricane.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah, we had an outdoor wedding ceremony. All planned. We had to cancel that, move the party inside to another location. We partied, first dance, ate the cake before we even got married, and we had the ceremony the next day.
For all these people that, you know, obviously for you for that situation and the pandemic weddings, my heart breaks because it's like the biggest, most planned day of your life, you know?
Did you make everybody come back the next day for the ceremony?
Well, everyone just wanted to come back. Lots of people were staying in the area and had a lot of fun that night. So it ended up being great. And you know what? The one thing you can't plan is you can't plan the weather.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was canceled that it broke your heart?
Well, a couple of years ago, I won tickets from your station to go see Maroon 5. And Adam Levine's wife had a baby, so they canceled that. Then at Christmas this year, my son and daughter pitched in and bought me tickets to see Maroon 5. And then COVID hit and they canceled that.
I got to tell you, the people from the Maroon 5 show from 5 years ago or whatever that got canceled when he had that baby, they're still complaining.
Still mad.
You're all still complaining.
Right.
It's the most. They had a baby. They had a, like, let it go.
I know.
I mean, nobody owes you an explanation. They had a baby.
But Hadi couldn't just breathe through it for one more day.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so
funny.
Canceled two times.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Marie and Jonathan. Jonathan, what happened?
Okay, so I was in the park on the way to meet my wife, was walking along, and I saw this mother berating her little infant in a stroller. She was standing there and swearing at the baby, and then like I put a blanket over the baby's head. She didn't hit it or anything, but she was yelling at the kid to go to sleep. I was just really uncomfortable about the whole situation, and I didn't know what to do. So I went on, me and my wife, before we sat down, I just blurted out the whole situation to her, because, you know, that kind of thing stays with you. So she starts berating me, the fact that I didn't do anything and that I should be ashamed. Why didn't you get involved? And ever since then, it's just been a big fight that we just keep circling back here.
So, Marie, you're upset that he saw this mother that was not treating her child respectfully, and you're upset that he didn't intervene.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, we met up right afterwards, and he told me the whole situation. He was definitely, you know, kind of shaken up about it, because clearly this was not appropriate behavior from this child's mother. And I'm upset that he didn't speak up, you know, to help this innocent, helpless child. I think that I know it's harsh, but I think he should be ashamed. And I really think he should have stepped in. But, you know, he seems to think that that would have made the situation worse. And I don't know. We just keep going around in circles about it. I keep trying to tell him, what if that was our child? And, you know.
Well, it wouldn't be your child, because you wouldn't behave that way towards your child.
Well, this is it, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Jonathan. What she was doing, I mean, obviously, if it really caught your attention, it must have been pretty bad. But did you ever feel like the child might have been in danger?
I didn't see her raise her hand to her little baby or anything, but she did cover it with a blanket. I don't know if that's something you're supposed to do with newborns. You know, I don't have, we don't have a child yet. But I just was like,
I mean, it's uncomfortable.
It's one of the situations.
Right.
I mean, to put a blanket over a child's head.
But she was swearing at the baby, too?
Oh, like full voice, just yelling out. Like, everyone around her could hear it.
You wonder if you see something like that, is that person in some sort of mental distress? Or if they're just, you know, being
trashy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a difference, right?
I guess the question is do you get involved in a situation like this where you see a mother that's berating a child, but they're not physically hurting them? I guess, as a blanket. I mean, it's a tough call, because you never know whether you should get involved or not. Was Jonathan wrong for not saying something, or was this one of those situations where he shouldn't get involved? What is he going to do? What is he going to say? Is he going to make matters worse if he did speak up?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
This one bothers me today.
Sure.
So Jonathan was out. He's walking through a park to meet his wife for lunch. And in the park, he saw a mom with a young child, an infant, like probably under a year old. And the mom was berating and screaming at the baby, yelling it, using terrible words, telling the baby to go to sleep, threw a blanket over the baby's head. And he was so jarred by this, but he didn't say anything. But he immediately went and told his wife about the situation.
Yeah, and Marie was upset with him. Basically said, like, you should have stepped in. You should have done something right at that moment. But his question was, what do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to about that? You know, we've seen time and time again, and especially over the last couple of years, it's really been a highlight. If you are not trained for a situation or the proper person in that situation, you can make a scenario worse. And that's true. And if you call the wrong person to get involved, Same thing. If they're not trained for it or ready for that, it can worsen a situation.
Right. But what if he was the chance to help that baby?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. I think that's the problem with the world today, that people really need to start minding their business. I think if the child was definitely in danger or anything physical was happening, then step in. But, you know, you don't also know what the mother's going through. The mother could be going through something and just be stressed out and having a bad day. I think people need to just start minding their business more.
Thank you for the call.
Sometimes somebody's bad day results in a problem for somebody else, though. And mm-hmm. when a child can't defend themselves or speak up for themselves, like, you run that risk.
It's so tough without actually seeing the situation and being in it. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Jonathan was walking through the park. He was going to meet his wife for lunch, and he saw a mother and a young child in a stroller, and the mother was screaming, dropping the F-bomb, screaming at the baby to go to sleep, put a blanket over the baby's head, and he was so jarred by this, but he didn't say anything, and when he went to meet his wife for lunch, he immediately told her, but Marie was not happy.
Marie thinks that he should have taken some action, confronted the woman, or discussed with her behavior around the baby. Jonathan was worried that he would actually make the situation worse and said, you know, I was looking out for the baby by just watching from afar.
What do you think? Should he have said something? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
Hi, good morning. I'm on the wife's side. I think he should have said something, even if he went over and said, is there something I could do to help you out? You seem like you need some help.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great answer, right? The first thing is there something I can do to alleviate your stress, all right? Because it makes them conscious of the fact that, hey, I'm freaking out here. It also gives you a chance to have an interaction to decide whether or not they're mentally capable of continuing right at that moment. And it makes them aware of people are watching and paying attention, you know? And sometimes that's the best right. that you can do.
Yeah, I see that. It's tough.
Exactly. That's the best that you can do and see her reaction. And then you can decide, do I need to call for help?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
The husband.
Go ahead. Why?
Well, until he has children, he won't understand sometimes the point of breaking that a child can bring to you. And if the son was not in any danger, then he's got no right to intervene.
You know, you make a good point because I know what it's like to be very frustrated. But I also know that you don't swear at an infant and you don't scream in public like that either.
Yeah, some people do, though. They swear around babies or whatever.
Trashy.
And they feel like babies like don't understand or whatever, so it's no big deal. And I understand that, too, but it is a difference of opinion.
Yeah, it's all right. Thank you for the call. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. As difficult as the situation is, I think anytime you want to get involved in a violent situation or a potentially violent situation, you have to have a step two. He wasn't going to take the child away from the woman.
Right.
And unless he had a way to de-escalate the situation, there was no way he was going to positively contribute to the whole ordeal, I'd say.
It's a really good point. If she makes a confrontation with this guy,
exactly.
with this lady.
You don't insert yourself.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And now you've made the woman irate. You don't have anybody to call for help. It's
There's
just
no
you and her. Then yeah. what?
Right. Yep. Thank you for the call.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jonathan, our audience agreed with you. Obviously, your heart is in the right place, but if there wasn't somebody of a figure of authority there and the child wasn't in real danger or being abused, like, what are you supposed to do? All it's going to do is cause more confrontation and possibly make it worse for the child.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? It's scary on that part.
Yeah, I was just feeling like if I stepped in, I could just make the situation worse. So I'm glad people saw it that way, because what else are you supposed to do other than she wasn't hurting him? There wasn't any physical thing happening. So I don't know.
Marie, good with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still torn about it. I actually think that the baby was in harm and it just wasn't appropriate. But I guess we're not, I guess it could have made it worse if he stepped in. I just hope we never see something like this again. It's not right. I hope that baby's okay.
Us too. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Alexis, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Alexis.
Okay. So Raven's walking on out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. We have $1,200 as the jackpot today. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play, Alexis?
I'm ready.
Number one, Jordan Peele's Candyman made $22.3 million opening weekend at the box office. How many times do you have to say Candyman in front of the mirror for him to appear?
Five.
Number two, Drew Barrymore brought back her character Josie Grossi in her TikTok debut. From what 1999 movie did she play Josie Grossi?
The Wedding Singer.
Number three, Mike Richards has been let go as executive producer of Jeopardy and what other game show after old podcasts found him saying derogatory things?
Wheel of Fortune.
Number four, Kanye West's Donda album dropped and is number one around the world. Kanye West's Yeezy brand teamed up with what retailer for the Donda drop?
Adidas.
And number five. Bonnaroo was canceled yesterday because of Hurricane Ida, just 2 days before the festival was set to begin, and people are very upset. In what state is Bonnaroo?
Louisiana.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
I don't think so.
Yo!
Alexis got three, but she might be right about one of these other ones. Let's see how you do.
Okay, right. Let's see.
It's not what I'm looking for, though. All right, number one, Jordan Peele's Candyman made a $22.3 million its opening weekend at the box office.
Yeah, it looks terrifying.
How many times do you have to say Candyman in front of a mirror for him to appear?
Five times, man. Don't play around.
Yes. Number two, Drew Barrymore brought back her character Josie Grossi in her TikTok debut. From what 1999 movie did she play Josie Grossi?
Josie Grossi's never been kissed.
Yes. Number three, Mike Richards has been let go as executive producer of Jeopardy and what other game show after old podcasts found him saying derogatory things?
Price is Right.
No, Wheel of Fortune. Number four, Kanye West's Donda album dropped and is number one around the world. Kanye West's Yeezy brand teamed up with what retailer for the Donda drop?
Isn't it Gap?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are tied at three. And number five, Bonnaroo was canceled yesterday because of Hurricane Ida, just 2 days before the festival was set to begin, and people are very upset about it. In what state is Bonnaroo?
Isn't it Tennessee?
Yes, it's Tennessee.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, Alexis. He took you down 4-3 this morning. That is going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Alexis, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, Alexis. I was going back and forth because, I mean, the Yeezy works with Adidas, but Adidas isn't working with Gap,
well,
you know?
He works with Adidas on shoes.
Yeah.
Clothing is a retail. Apparel is Gap.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Either way, we're going to get you that t-shirt. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info, okay?
Okay.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,300 tomorrow.